From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Two in a row. That is a phrase that can be few and far between when talking about California snowpack in a good way, but the results are in, and for the second straight season, the Sierra snowpack is above normal. This morning, Governor Newsom joined the Department of Water Resources for its snow survey at Phillips Station, which is at the foot of Sierra at Tahoe Ski Resort in El Dorado County, just west of Echo Summit along Highway 50. It's one of more than 100 manual and electronic surveys that are conducted across the more than 400 miles of the Sierra Nevada range. And statewide, the Sierra snowpack is 110% of average. This April snow survey, historically, is the last major one of the snow year, since the snowfall begins to taper off now into the later spring months. So this is all good news, right? But as we all know here in California, we cannot count on the next year being as successful. So for more perspective, we invited Jay Lund with the Center for Watershed Sciences at UC Davis to join us. Good afternoon, Professor Lund.
Good afternoon.
So this really was a pendulum swing when it came to this winter snow season. It started off bone dry in October. It started trickling in a little bit in November, and now here we are above average. I mean, for context, how big of a turnaround was the last few months in terms of snowpack and water content?
Well, I think it's been very good for snow content. The precipitation for the year is only about average in the northern Sierras, but the snowpack is especially boisterous. So we're having a very good snow year, even though the precipitation, which includes snow, is about average. So we're getting a little bit more of it as snow.
Which one is better? Which one would a state water manager prefer, snowpack or precipitation?
Well, I think you want precipitation, but you'd like to have as much of it, a good bit of it as you can, like this year, as snow, because it tends to trickle out a little bit more later on in the year. It'll depend a little bit on how warm it is and the snow melt. So not all the snow makes it into runoff. Some of it will evaporate.
So this snow survey that takes place at Phillips Station, I have been up there and snowshoed up there many a times with Department of Water Resources. It is rare when a governor shows up, though. The last time, I believe, was Governor Brown in 2015, and that was when we were in a serious drought. What does it signal to you that Governor Newsom showed up to this April 1st snow survey in Phillips Station?
Well, I think it's probably happy news. It's nice when a governor has some happy news to report.
Yeah. I would imagine you remember back in 2015 when Governor Brown, he ceremoniously walked on dirt in the same exact location and declared we were in a serious drought. I believe that April 1st snow survey in 2015, which really wasn't that long ago, it's less than a decade ago, it was the driest snow survey in recorded state history. So what does this weather whiplash that we always hear about in California, we have some of the most extreme climate in the country or maybe even in the world, what does this tell us about how California, our state, is evolving to modern day climate issues?
Well, I think we've always had the swings from wet to dry every year. This is just a characteristic of California's Mediterranean climate. But it's becoming worse, and it's going to become worse still. But it's in a sense, California's climate is becoming more like California's climate.
Yeah. Given that this was an above average snow survey for April 1st, I mean, it was 110%, so just a little over average. What does that mean that we're celebrating this as a good thing, as opposed to is average now the what we're striving towards?
Well, California is a climate that has a lot of floods and a lot of droughts. And so average is actually pretty good.
Governor Newsom, during the press conference this morning, he had said that the state's water system, I mean, there's a whole infrastructure across the state, and it is very complex and it is massive, something that you know very well. But he said that our state's water system was designed for 50 to 60 years ago and that it just doesn't exist anymore. Is that entirely true?
Oh, there's some truth to it, I think. I think it's very important when you have an average year. It gives you a chance to put things in perspective and not be complacent. We're going to have more floods. We're going to have more droughts. And so make use of the average years to really think about the problems that we're having and are going to have and prepare for them.
Given that California is, you know, 40 million plus people and water needs are wide and varied, obviously you want clean drinking water. We also have a huge agricultural economy here, and there are other water needs as well from conservation and the environment. California is 21 state populations combined. That is what the governor said this morning. So that makes it a little complicated, challenging, because it's not a one-size-fits-all issue. But is there a place or a state, either in the country or in the world, that is comparable to California's water and also climate complexities and the needs that we have?
Well, certainly all the Mediterranean climates, Australia, parts of Chile, have a very similar climate and very similar kinds of water management controversies and difficulties that California has. Most of those places would actually probably prefer to have our problems rather than their own. We will always have water problems in California. Just the nature of our climate and the population and our large and growing and dynamic economy.
How has the state then in recent years been improving how to capture and store more water during average years like this one? Because we can't expect that next year. So how is the state doing a better job at keeping the water during healthy years?
Well, we ended up last year with very full reservoirs and quite a bit of water stored in aquifers, although not nearly making up for all the years of drought that we've had the last decade or so. There's a lot more effort to recharge groundwater throughout the state. I think that's a good thing. The more of that, the better, although at some point it'll become costly. Our groundwater deficits are larger than we probably will ever be able to capture with additional stormwater, but it's good to get as much as we can.
For someone who is unaware of what groundwater or what water recharge is, what is it?
It's when you take water that's on the surface, either in a river or a stream or precipitation, and you put it over a recharge basin or you prepare the ground on it so that it infiltrates down into groundwater where it can be stored with much less evaporative loss.
So the governor has announced a couple different plans over the years since he's been governor. In 2020, there was a water plan to address the state's needs. It then was expanded and built upon in 2022. And there isn't a silver bullet. I mean, you mentioned water recharging. The governor also talked about desalinization, the Delta Conveyance Project, the site's reservoir project, updating permitting and CEQA regulations to streamline and reduce litigation risk. I know that these all go in tandem for an overall, hopefully, you know, successful approach to meet the state's water needs. But is there one that you think is more important than the others or is more interesting to you than the others?
California is a very large and complex state with a very large and complex water system. Sometimes the worst problems that we get during droughts and floods are a result of not really preparing in advance enough, in particular preparing institutions to cooperate to supply water to places that are short, even with compensation. So I think that's probably the most important thing, single thing, lots of important things, but the most important single thing is to have the very decentralized management of water in California, you know, get along pretty well and prepare for future droughts.
You've been with the Center for Watershed Sciences for quite some time at UC Davis. How have conversations among your colleagues? I mean, you live and breathe this, you know, the water infrastructure and the needs of the state. How have they evolved over the years?
Well, we've seen really the same infrastructure that was designed in the 30s and 40s and 50s serve very well. Not perfectly by any means, because the state has changed tremendously. We've found that the initiative in water management has moved really from state and federal agencies to local and regional agencies, closer to the ground, closer to the customers, closer to the groundwater basins. And really, it's been a remarkably successful enterprise. Nevertheless, given our climate, we will always have these problems.
One of the more concerning statements that I heard from the governor was that when they put out their water plans, I believe in 2022, they found that by 2040, which is not that long from now, it's like 15, 16 years from now, the state will have 10% water. Is that accurate?
I think we will have less on average. And with the extremes getting bigger, we're going to have to pay more attention to how we manage water at the extremes. That's going to include additional water conservation, additional water markets, additional use of groundwater for storage, and maybe even some additional surface water storage. But we have to do it all in an economic way, right? We it's not worth capturing every drop. You wouldn't want to pay for the water at that expense. So it's always going to be a struggle, and it's always going to be a balancing act between all the different stakeholders and the economic costs and benefits. The biggest problem I see is ecosystems. We have a very changing climate with very dynamic ecosystems, a lot of new non-native species coming in, and we're going to have to manage all of that with climate change in addition to our human water demands that are very important, of course.
Right, because then there's going to be less to go around. And I think water, as long as it has existed, has always been up for passionate debate. and yes. And I think it was like Mark Twain that said whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. So if we're going to have less water to go around in a very short period of time, in a little over a decade from now, and unpredictable weather extremes and pendulum swings, how do you think that's going to complicate all the varied needs that water meets in the state?
Well, I do think we've seen tremendous improvements in urban water management. The urban water agencies cooperate among each other very well and with many of the agricultural systems to store water and operate water and to use the conveyance systems that we have to move water around in ways that provide a lot of reliability to these systems. I think we have some good improvements coming on.
When we have an above average snowpack and water content year like this one, I mean, how does this help or does it help conservation across the state?
Well, I think it's important that we always maintain some pressure for water conservation. The urban areas have made tremendous strides in urban water conservation in the last decades, still have a ways to go. Agriculture is being improving its water use efficiency and its water management on a regional scale. Ecosystems is still an area where we're really way behind in terms of figuring out what's the best thing to do and organizing ourselves to pay for it and do it.
When talking about the ag industry, I mean, I would think a year like this is good for water deliveries for farmers and ranchers across the state.
I think it is, as well, certainly better than the drier years we've had recently. But there will be still quite a bit of agriculture that would like to have greater deliveries than they'll see this year.
Hmm. When it comes to not too far off into the future, we are rounding the corner to spring. We're going to get to the drier months. And then we are in a wildfire season, which can be year-round here in California. You know, having a good amount of snowpack and water content is good. That also could potentially create more fuel for wildfires. I mean, do you think that is a possibility, a likelihood, you know, that as we get into this summer and fall?
Well, California is a big place with a lot of microclimates up in the watersheds as well as in the ecosystem. So I suspect we will see some problems someplace regarding have this extra water in the spring leading to extra fuel. But on the whole, I think it will probably more likely dampen some of these problems rather than exacerbate them.
Right. So that's probably why, because last year, I mean, just remembering, we didn't really have major catastrophic wildfires like last summer as we did, you know, over the last 5 to 7 years in California.
Right. Yeah, I think we've been pretty lucky with wildfires the last year or so.
Finally, you know, we're talking about a statewide average, 110% across the state, but it varies when you're talking about the Northern Sierra. I mean, they did pretty well, I think 124%. The Central Sierra, right, which is in our area, is a little over 100%. And then the Southern Sierra is like 101%. Do we want that robust snowpack to always be in the Northern Sierra as opposed to other parts of the Sierra? Does it matter?
I think we'd like to have it anywhere. I think if in general, you would probably prefer to have more of it further south, where some of the largest water demands are, the unrequited water demands are. You say that for precipitation as well as snowpack. This year actually has had about average precipitation in the Northern Sierra, but the Central and Southern Sierra are at about 85% of average precipitation. And of course, Southern California, I think, is probably substantially above average, although we don't maintain some DWR indices for that.
We'll take what we can get, huh, Jay?
That's right.
Thank you so much, Professor Lund, for joining us.
You're very welcome. Goodbye.
Jay Lund is a professor emeritus and vice director with the Center for Watershed Sciences at UC Davis, breaking down this year's above average snowpack in the Sierra for the second year in a row and what it means for California's evolving water needs. Up next, jails across the state have been dropping in population, but an investigation found that despite the decline, more people incarcerated are dying inside these facilities. The journalist behind the investigation joins us with the reasons why, as well as some solutions that are taking shape. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.